You're here tonight to look at the justice of the cross. The justice of the cross. Behind the cross is God's love for us. Behind the cross is God's love. And that is often emphasized. But sometimes we forget that the cross was about justice, about sin being paid. And sometimes we can overemphasize his love, but we can forget about his justice and that a price was paid and that he ransomed us. So we're just going to look at a couple of passages in the Bible. We're going to look at Romans 5, and we're going to look at Isaiah 53. I'm just going to pull out some verses from those. Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll just skip to verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, now having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies of God, we were reconciled. And we'll just look at Isaiah 53 as well, starting at verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And he has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand, and he shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. We thank God for his word. God's word is good, and it teaches us, it edifies it, it gives us light on what Jesus went through for us, and why Jesus went through and suffered the cross on our behalf. It was for justice. I know that every single person, we're created in the image of God, and we have a very acute sense of justice. A very acute sense of justice. If I give one of my kids slightly more ice cream than the other one, they have a very keen sense of justice. At that moment, he's got more than me, it's not fair. Justice needs to be done. They need to have a little bit more ice cream. I remember when Ian and I were growing up, we slept in bunk beds for many a years. We had the same bunk beds our kids slept in for a while. And for years and years, Ian and I slept in the same room, and we fought every single night who was going to sleep in the top bunk. And we had a very acute sense of justice. If somebody had slept in the bunks for two nights in a row, you know, we're going to have a big punch-up about it. We had this sense of justice that it wasn't fair that one of us got to sleep in the top bunk and the other one would have to sleep in the bottom. And the funny thing was, when I moved out, Ian continued to sleep in the bottom bunk out of choice. But that's Ian for you. Well, he's not here tonight. I can say what I like, can I? But everybody has an acute sense of justice. I drive professional football teams, and the managers also have a very acute sense of justice. If somebody is fouled and the referee misses the foul, you have never seen the anger welling up with inside them to vent their fury at the referee. Who would be a referee? Roy. You know, they vent their fury at the referee for this sense of injustice that somebody got fouled and it wasn't picked up, and the injustice of it. I think I actually remember talking to Gordon one time, a Liverpool fan, that he went home one time, the referee didn't see a foul and the match was lost, and he went home angry, like burning with anger. And I think that anger comes at injustice. You think of the people, if you think of if somebody in your family has been raped, or if a woman has been raped, there's a sense of injustice and anger that justice is required. Or, you know, if you think of old people that go without food or without heating because they haven't got enough, for the pensions don't pay for that, there's a sense of anger that we need to do. That's an injustice that we should be providing for these people. And just thinking of Oscar Pistorius, did anybody follow that a little bit on the TV? I followed a little bit. And through the trial, they kept interviewing some of the family, and they sought the correct justice, whether he'd done it intentionally or whether he hadn't, couldn't figure out, but they wanted justice. And at the end of it, when they were interviewed, after the final hearing came out, or the final verdict came out, they were questioned, you know, are you satisfied with this? And there was varying responses from the family. Yeah, I'm satisfied, I'm not satisfied. So justice, anger, with injustice comes anger. And also, when putting things right, when justice is done, there's a satisfaction or there's not a satisfaction. So think of the injustice that we feel about things that are wrong. So God, who is pure, who is holy, who sees all things, gets angry at injustice. The Bible talks about the anger and the wrath of God. Now, if you want to look, take a sentimental view of God, who doesn't, you know, who is always has positive emotion and no negative emotion, you know, if we sentimental and have him as a guy with a big woolly beard and the sky and only does nice things. But God's sense of justice is far beyond what ours is. If we're angered that we don't get to sleep in a bottom bunk, or if a football doesn't go in a net, how much more is God's sense of justice, who knows all things, who knows right from wrong, who can see that when people defile his name? If you've gone on Radio 1, I don't often go on, but sometimes it comes on when I'm driving in my bus. And the amount of times that OMG is used, a defilement of his precious name, that blasphemy comes forth over and over again. That a gift of sex that is given to people, and God said to keep it within marriage, and yet we defile what God has given as a precious gift. God sees the injustice. And the Bible does say that he is slow to anger. But the sin upon sin upon sin, his anger is kindled. And God does get angry at injustice. And if you read the book of Isaiah, it goes through that God sees this injustice and his anger is kindled. Isaiah 51 verse 17 talks about the cup of his wrath being poured out. Or Isaiah 63:6, I have trodden down the peoples in my anger. I have made them drunk in my fury. So God is a God who in just his anger is kindled. And God seeks justice more than anybody else. God seeks justice. God seeks to make things right. Injustice cannot happen with God. For God had a plan. If we read in Isaiah 53, it said it was God's will. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus going to the cross was not just about us. It was for God to justify the righteous. So God could put things right between him and us. You know, you think about the... We do think about the love of God, and the justice of God is motivated by love, but the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and what, loving? Faithful and just. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. The cross was about justice. The cross was about God pouring out his wrath upon his own son instead of us. And justice was done. Things were made right on the cross. And the cup of his wrath was poured out on his son. Jesus prayed the night before he was crucified. He said, not my will, but yours be done. It was the will of God. It was the plan of God to raise up a savior and to justify the ungodly. Romans 4, 5 says he justifies the ungodly. We have this within the world. Our sense of justice is that God rewards good people and God punishes bad people. God rewards the good, God punishes bad. If you have that, if you speak to anybody in the world today, that is their view. But God has turned that around, that he justifies the ungodly. That he takes the sinner, he takes us, all of us, and he justifies them before himself, that we can come clean and sinless. He justifies many. So he justifies the wicked. The wicked. And that is us in our sin. I was talking, you know, when I was saying about saying OMG or sex or even in worshiping other gods, we have failed. We have failed God. We are the sinners, but he justifies us. Justice has been gained on the cross. It was the Lord's will to bruise him. You know, I think within the church we have a sense that, you know, if we only say sorry, then God will forgive us. We just have to say sorry, and that is part of it, but it is not the full story. A price has to be paid. If we're just sorry, we can never repay God for what we've done. Justice still has to be done. A punishment has to be given as God's anger to put things right was poured out on the cross. So it was God's will to bruise him so that injustice could be satisfied. That God on the cross was satisfied when his wrath was poured out on his son. And that we can become justified. Within Scottish law, it used to be when there was hangings within Britain, within Scottish law, there used to be a note put up after somebody was hung. I would just imagine that, pretend that Ben and Ollie were working up in Scotland. Somebody asked them to do a stone wall. And so Ollie's decided that Ben's asked him to do something and he's not done it. And So eventually Ollie goes off. He's decided he'd go off for a few hours, have a bit of fun, go out in Scotland, you know, see the sights, see the glens, try his kilt on, something like that. You can just imagine it now, can't you? So Ollie goes out, and when he comes back, Ben's you know, pretty angry, and Ollie's started working now. He's bending down on the wall, and Ben's doing the top of the wall, and Ben's got this brick over Ollie's head, and clunk, out like a light. Ollie's dead, and Ben's sent to prison. And so he's tried for murder. Sounds familiar, Ben said. Tried for murder. So in Scotland, if that had been years ago, and Ben was convicted And he was sent to be hanged. And Ben was hanged. And then on the prison that he was in would go a note that goes something like this: this day, Ben Jackson has been justified. So he has committed a crime, and by hanging he has been justified. The crime has been paid for by his hanging. I'm not saying that hanging is right or not right. I'm just using it as an illustration. I'm not putting ideas in your head now, am I, Ben? Already there. But within Scottish law, they would put up Ben Jackson has been justified. He's paid for his crimes. That sense of justice. But that's what the cross is all about. When Jesus died, but we have been justified. Romans 5 saying there, have been justified by faith. We are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. And we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been justified. At the cross, justice was done. Within law, there's two, forgiveness and law, there's justice and there's mercy. Justice and mercy. Justice is getting what we deserve. If Ben killed Ollie, he would get what he deserved. He would be hung. Mercy would be not getting what he deserved. The two are opposite to one another. So justice is getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. But at the cross, justice was done. If you think about the cross, you are justified. By faith in Jesus, you are justified. It's not just God's mercy. Justice was done. If you think about it, if I went into Costa's every day, and if the first day I went in, and I went to Costa's, and I didn't have any money, which is like me, and I say, can I have a cup of tea? And they say, no, we don't give cups of tea for free. And because in Costa's, there's a few of our young people that used to work there. And I might say something like, can I have a cup of tea? And say, oh, well, I don't have any money today. You know, I can pay you back at a later date. Go on, you know, just give me a cup of tea. And they might, at the end of it, give me a cup of tea, saying I can pay back tomorrow because I know them. And they would show mercy. And maybe the next day I would go in, I'd say, hi, I spoke to you yesterday. I would, you never guess what's happened. I forgot my money again and I'm really, really dying for a cup of tea. Will you give me a cup of tea? And I said, no, I gave you one yesterday. You can't have a cup of tea today. I said, did you get in trouble yesterday? No, well, just go on, give me a cup of tea. And they may give me another cup of tea. And, you know, if I went in the third day, I'd say, I've done it again. I've not got any money. Will you give me a cup of tea? And they're likely to kick me out and get the police and call me for, you know, they're not going to give me a cup of tea. But if, say, one of my very kind brothers, Roy, yeah, or Sid, no, probably not Sid, Roy had been in earlier that week, and he knows I don't carry money around. And he'd put in 50 quid into the Costa's till, and you know put that behind the till. And when I go in and say, "Oh, can I have a cup of tea?" and they would, "Yeah, have a cup of tea. Would you like a cake with that?" and I'd go, "Oh yes," and you know I might go in the next day, tea. Yeah, tea. You can have us. Yeah, have tea. Have another tea. Have a Kit Kat. Yeah, maybe have two. I'm not fasting this week. You won't know that joke if you haven't heard Des. But you know, there's money paid. My having that tea has been justified because there's money has been paid. If I go in without money and I beg, I'm begging for mercy. But when the price has been paid, I go in and I get the cup of tea. I get a cake, I get a biscuit, I get all the blessings that Costa's can give me. So much more, that is a trivial illustration of what God has done on the cross. He has paid for it all. It is paid up by far, because he was pure and righteous. He was able to pay for it all. Justice has been done. And when we go to God, what does it say? We can go boldly before the throne. We can have a cup of tea and we can have everything else. We can have salvation and we can have healing extra. We can have salvation. We can have our families blessed. Hallelujah. He has paid for it all on the cross. And it says in Isaiah 53, by his stripes we were healed. Because justice has been done, the price has been paid, and we live free. Within Isaiah 53 as well, it talks about him being buried, that our sins are buried. Romans 6 talks about I always give this verse out when we've been baptized, that we have died with him, and we've been buried with him. Romans 6 verse 4, we have been buried with Christ. We were buried with him through baptism into death. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, so we have been buried with him. In Isaiah 53, it says about him that they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Other translations said buried at his death. So when Jesus died, the Romans would usually take the body, and or the Jews. And there's a place just outside of Jerusalem called Gehenna, which is a valley which they threw all the rubbish in, any dead animals in, and they lit a fire that would burn continually, that would just burn up all the rubbish, even the dead criminals they would throw in there. And that's probably what Jesus was destined for if he was left in the hands of the Romans. But instead, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus took his body and they laid it in a tomb. So he was buried. And we identify ourselves with him in that, and that we were buried. And when we come to him in faith, that our sin is buried and it's forgotten about. It's forgotten about. Our sin is no longer. We leave it there, never to be remembered again. We in our flesh sometimes bring it up, that we don't trust God, that sin has not been paid for. But the Bible says our sin has been buried. Just thinking of I went down to the funeral director's, and I went, they were showing me the room that we may be able to use on occasions, and they said just be careful that there's someone in there. So we went in, had a look at the room, and there was a body in the room, and they said watch out for him. And so and before, so in between somebody dying and then being buried, you use that phrase, it's him, how old is he? But when somebody is buried, you say, how old were they? There's something about the phrase being dead and buried. And talking about our sin is dead and buried. And in Christ, our sin is buried with him. Our sin is buried, and we don't need to bring it up anymore. The Bible also says about God having a sea of, you know, putting our sins in the sea, in a sea of forgetfulness. It's not that God can't remember, but that he chooses not to. When we're justified before God, when justice has been done, God doesn't bring up the case again. Within our legal system, they may bring up a trial a few times, but once it's done, it's finished with. The lawyers go home, the police forget about it, and it's finished. And with our sin, we need to do the same. Whatever we have done in the past, it is dead and buried. Satan will try and bring it up. Our own flesh will try and remind God about it. You know, we can go to God in mercy, like going to him every day. God, forgive me for this. God, forgive me for this. And keep going back again and again and again. Or you can feel like, I'm so ashamed, I'm so ashamed, I'm so ashamed. But God wants us to leave it there because he has brought justice by the cross. And we can forget about it. We can move on in freedom and actually go boldly before the throne. Jesus' death on the cross brought justice so that we can be free. Hallelujah. You happy about that?
Yeah.
You can tell your faces. It's good. He bought our freedom. He justified us before God. He has set us free and given us so much more. Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There's no condemnation. When we come before God, no condemnation. We've been justified before God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And Romans 8:32 says, he freely gives us all things. Ephesians also says that he has given us every spiritual blessing. Hallelujah. How many blessings? Some of them? Not some of them? Not most of them? Every spiritual blessing. Our souls can be satisfied in Jesus Christ. Every one of God's blessings can be had because he has given us every spiritual blessing. We can have joy. We can have peace. We can have satisfaction in him. He is the good shepherd. He leads us in truth. He leads us in righteousness. He leads us into all good things. Every spiritual blessing was bought for us on that cross. We were justified before God. And as in, if the prison doors were open, we can go free. We don't have to sit in prison. We don't have to stay there. We can go out and have the liberty that is found in God. We can have every spiritual blessing. Hallelujah. God has justified us. We are right before God. Praise his name. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it was your will and your way and your wisdom to pour out your wrath upon your son. And that by faith, we are justified before you. Thank you that you did it all. That we are right before you. And we can come into a right relationship with you. I thank you that you've given us every spiritual blessing. That you have given us power through the Holy Spirit to overcome every situation. Lord, that we can also see healings, see restoration, see the captive set free. Heavenly Father, help us to walk in the liberty that you have given us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.